Tonight we have a very special service. It's our mission sending service. And and it's not like a group of people are going to do something out there to try and be nice or to fill their holidays with something. It's really, we want to see the kingdom of God come. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, and then we're going to pray for them, and we're going to send them, and we're going to pray for each other, because I really believe there's some of us that are going to be set free tonight. And just because of who God is, not because of fancy songs or because of church, but because He's here. And He's got an appointment with you tonight. And He's jealous over you. He's jealous for what's going on in your heart. And He's desiring to share His heart with you. What goes on in His heart. And He wants to be your father. You know, so many people, and I, for a long time, when I, even after I became a Christian, it was so easy to pray to Jesus. It was easy for me to relate to Jesus, but I had a bit of a problem. The old man up there, Jesus' dad, you know? And you hear many people still today, when you talk to them, they say, no, the old man up there, you know? But he's not an old man up there. He's a father. And Jesus just came to show us what the Father and who the Father is. Because He only did what He saw the Father do. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, because many people ask us, why do we send mission teams all across the world? And why do we have these local missions? And why do we have Community Week? Why do we have the Love of the City, where you look out over the city and you can pray over Stellenbosch and you say, or over this campus, and you can say to God, God, I'm not happy with what is happening here. Because there are many people here that are walking around and they don't know You. And some people say, oh, that's nice, you know, you're probably a bit more evangelistically than the rest, but you know. But people, the time is up and the time is over when we can just have a concern for the people around us. God wants to birth something in you, a desire in you. It's His desire. He wants you to walk around day and night without being able to say, I am content, I know, I am comfortable. Because there's something that burns on God's heart. And that's His Father's heart. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And then we're going to pray for these teams. And we're going to send them. And we're going to pray for some people here tonight. And we're going to almost just like a pray for each other. Okay. I want us to go to Genesis chapter 12. Right at the beginning when God called out Abraham. Are you here with us tonight? Hello. Everybody at the back, just wave there at the back. Lekker, lekker. Okay, those people at the back there. Sure. Okay, just half of you. Hello. That's better. Wonderful. Wave at somebody next to you there, that block at the back there. Say, you're looking good tonight. No, but mean it. Don't be a hypocrite now. Okay. Okay, Genesis, God comes to this little man, Abram. And God made a covenant with Abram, and this covenant still stands today. Lots of covenants came, the covenant with Noah, the covenant with, there were lots of covenants, and then Jesus' covenant, but there's a covenant that God made with a man that did not choose to serve God, a man that was on his own ways, in his own city, it was a big city, the Ur of the Chaldeans. Ur, say Ur. It's not a nice name to give your child, okay? Don't say Ur, okay? But there was this man, and Scripture picks up and says, God goes to this man, and God calls this man, and He says, look here, I've got a plan. But you know, there's some things that needs to happen, yeah? Because where you are, I cannot bless you. There's some stuff in your culture, there's some stuff, and they say that the city was a very cosmopolitan city. There were lots of trade. It was very rich, lots of things. They dug up lots of gold and lots of things like that, and the excavations. And now God comes to him and He says to him this. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. If you're a Christian here tonight, I want to tell you, you are sitting here tonight because of that promise that God made to that little Abraham man. Look at all these families. You represent lots of families. And God said to him, look here, there's some stuff that you need to know, Abram. I want to move. I want to do stuff. But the problem is where you are, I cannot bless you. You have to move out. You have to get out from that place because there's lots of idol worship, lots of things. So God says, move. And when they move, something begins to happen. But God never tells him where to. That's the amazing thing about God. He just tells you, come follow me. And then he walks. And now, typically, the perfectionistic type of people and the people that we want to be in control, we want to first say to God, God, no, you don't understand. Where to? Just give me a little hint. Just one. Just like, and the curious people, no. I'm not going if you don't tell me where we're going. Yeah? But it's amazing how we can throw tantrums around God, but yeah, God comes to this man and just says, it's like somebody coming. The angel just came into the place. He put his foot on the stage there. Did you hear that? The other one is going to come now. No. It's because you're laughing. Not supposed to laugh in church. Okay. But in any case, so God comes to this man and it's like somebody walking up to you, somebody that you trust, and just say, pack all your stuff. Now. We're going to go somewhere. Everything precious. Okay, the angel is now really in the house. Okay. But very simply, he says, just come, follow me. And that's a big challenge for us, especially the control freaks. So God gives this promise and he says, I am going to bless you. I am going to make you a blessing. And I am going to call you a new nation. But he says, there's one thing you need to, I want to make you a new family. I want to do something in your heart. And then I've got a promise for you. And this is what we sometimes miss. But right here at the end, it says, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Say, all the families of the earth, the whole earth shall be blessed. So God says to him, look here, I want you to go. And I want you to do some family business on my behalf. Because I'm not even just going to tell you where to or all that stuff. Because that's not really what matters. What I want is I want to do something in your heart. I want to create a capacity in your heart. Not for you to receive lots of blessing. That's where it starts. But you actually be a blessing. And then all the families of the earth be blessed through you. And so when people ask, why do we do missions and why do we reach out? It's very simply. It is not to see all our doctrine being imposed on people and to change lives and to make disciples and all of that. That's part of it. But it's very simply, it's to reveal the Father's heart of God. That's why God had Israel divide into families. The tribes were families and families together. And they said, this is how we're going to do war. And some families just worshipped and other families did other things. There were all these different tribes in Israel. And so God says, I want people to know my Father's heart. I want people to know who I am. I'm a daddy. So even for some of us sitting here tonight, like I said, it's so easy to pray the warfare prayers and do this stuff and connect to Jesus, because that's great. But then we struggle a little bit with this one thing, God the Father. And we don't really know what it means to have a father, because sometimes we did not have a natural father, and that natural fatherhood that was lacking, or a father that was maybe in our homes but he was never there, sort of makes you feel like there's a vacuum in your life. There's like a blind spot. There's this massive need, and you're like running and you want to fill your whole life because there's a need, there's a desire inside of you. And it's very simply, it's a desire for a daddy. So right from the beginning, Jesus also said something. He says, look here, and Jesus gets a bit angry at a time because of one specific thing. He says here in Mark chapter 11, he says, then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. That's the time when Jesus walks into the temple and there's lots of people selling lots of things and lots of stuff. And then Jesus comes and he overthrows the tables and all the money changes. And it's like you see a side of Jesus that's like a bit scary. Because of something that is stirred in Jesus' heart. It's very simple. It's God's Father's heart for his house, for his people. And Jesus picks up on it. Something stirs in Jesus' heart and he says, look here. I want and we want this house to be focused on all the nations, all the culture groups, all the families of the earth joining together under the covenant of God. But you know what you've made it? You've made it a den of thieves. A place where lots of thieves come together. And what do? Thieves steal. Why do people steal stuff? Hello? Why do people steal stuff? Because there's a thief. Because they want to. Why do people steal stuff? They've got a need. They want a freebie. Why do people, talk to somebody next to you, why do people steal stuff? Why do we have thieves? Okay, very simply, most thieves don't run out there because they just want to feel good by stealing. There are some people, what's it, the kleptoman, okay? Is that the right word? Kleptomania, okay? Some people, it's like addiction, but most thieves steal because they've got a need that is unfulfilled. Okay, so God says there's a group of people here. They cannot reach out to the nations. They cannot pray for the nations because that's my heart. I want them to reach out. I want them to multiply themselves. I want them to be able to give. But they cannot give because they are takers. They are consumers. They steal stuff because they always have a need inside that is unfulfilled. Or a need for things that is... And they feel they're not fulfilled, whether it's food or things or stuff that they go and sell. I had a funny moment one day. I was standing at the work when I was working as an accountant and somebody phoned me and they said, hello, sir. I said, oh, hello. He says, do you want to buy a CD of Jars of Clay for R4? I said, no, thank you. I've got one at home. And then this guy says, do you want to buy a CD of this and this? And then he went through a list. And as he came to the seventh one, I realized these are all the CDs that I have at home. I say, no, thank you. I have got all of them at home. He says, no, you don't have it. Because there's somebody trying to sell all your CDs to me over the counter. And I'm going to buy them for four rand. Do you want to buy them back? I say, yes, please. So I bought all my CDs back for 40 bucks. Because somebody broke into our home and stole all the CDs. Yeah. And it was quite a funny moment because I was thinking, oh, you know, what a bargain. And then I realized I'm buying my own CDs back, you know, but in any case, that's got like nothing to do with nothing, you know, because my cell phone number was on the CDs. But when there's a den of thieves, it means that so many people, so many Christians cannot give. They cannot have a heart for the nations because of one thing. Something that has gone wrong in their life. Some relationship that went a bit skew in the way that you grew up. And they become sterile. They cannot reproduce. And let me say this honestly. You know, God hasn't got a problem with homosexual people or anything like that. But for one reason, I believe. Is because they cannot reproduce. And that denies the heart of God. Because it's lust. And lust always takes. It cannot give. Lust always takes. It cannot give. So we live in a world and many times we see that there's something that has crept into the church. It's called lust. It's called greed. And many people say, oh, if I could just have another great CD, if I can listen to another great sermon, if I can just go and pep myself up a little bit more. But what happens is you get so many... sterile, cannot produce, barren people. And then the problem is we fall into religion. We try rules and regulations. Because God has got something, and he said it right there, Abraham, at the beginning. He says, I want you to reproduce. I want you to have the ability to multiply yourself. I want you to be able to, that thing that I've done in your heart, I want you to be able to give it away. And to bless the nations. And for every family in the earth, every family in this nation to be blessed through you. Because you also have the seed, the heart of Abraham. And this takes me to the next thing. And I'm going to try to rush because we don't want to spend too much time on this. But Romans chapter 8 verse 14. You see, something must happen in our hearts. And many people say, oh, God is so far. I'm so struggling with those things. But I've got good news for you. God is here and he wants to be your dad. And when you understand that he wants to be your father, you know, I've got two daughters and a son, 11, 9, and almost 5, okay? And if something or somebody wants to get near my daughters, I cannot tell you what happens in my heart. If you walk by one of my daughters and you've got that look, I will kill you. Okay? I am going to make it very tough for any man that wants to come close to date my daughters. I've got already a 340-page document that they must fill in. It's going to take them at least 3 years to fill in that document. Okay? Nothing before 24. Okay, but no, I'm not speaking anything, but 21. Okay, no dating before then. Okay, so, but you know what? If, I'll never forget it, and let me just share out of my own life. You know, I grew up with a dad that really blessed me, and he was nice. He gave me lots of stuff. But there was always this thing missing of just saying, you know, I affirm your identity. Because all of us, do you know that you get your identity not from your mother, but from your dad and interaction with your dad? And if that's not there, there's many times confusion or gender confusion, lots of stuff in your life that you know, it's just like not lekker. And if I, like for instance, go away for a week from home, my kids suffer intensely because I walk in and I say, don't do it like that. And then there's order. Louise, my wife, walks in there. Please don't do it. Don't do it. You know, she says 40 times and everybody's just like, huh? Yeah. What did you say? What suggestion do you make? Yeah. But I just raise my voice a little bit and I don't need to be nasty or anything. There's just like something in a dad's voice that establishes something. But you know, I'll never forget it. There was this little boy with Naomi, my second child, that started to like harass her a little bit and sort of, he was like this big bully. And the second time after she told me, she was in grade 1. So it's not a big bully, it's a small bully. Okay? She told me twice. Once so nice, twice so thrice. We're going to kill somebody here, you know? So I walked up to that school. I said to her, if I find this man, I will hang him. I will, you know? I went to this little boy. I said to him, do you know I am a Christian? But you make me lose my Christianity and my salvation. I said to him, if you do this again, I will kill you. I will hang you from that tree, you know. And there was peace. After that, there was peace for the whole year. Because... But I must tell you, I was like scared when I saw what was happening in my heart because it was like a dad, you know. I realized, whoo, this is cool, you know. And this is like, you know, bring it on, Jesus, you know. Here it comes. Just don't lose your salvation in the process. But some of you, when you get dads, you're going to understand this. But something inside of you wants to protect, wants to provide, wants to give direction, wants to comfort, wants to say, look here, I'm going to be your daddy. And you know, some of us here tonight don't understand this about God, that God will actually come to your school ground and your playground and he'll wave a couple of fingers and says, look here, especially the girls here, if you mess with my daughter, because do you know what? You're a daughter of the king. And he will smack anybody that gets in the way. So don't ever believe in this lie that God hasn't got a side that wants to protect, that wants to provide, that wants to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks. And I never understood this part of God because I always thought, you know, I'm doing stuff for God and let's be very spiritual about all that stuff. Until you begin to understand something that makes the Father's heart. Something, there's a little button there. There's a something, it's called his children. And the provision that he has made for all the nations. So if you want to know why, then we read here Romans chapter 8 verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So there's a bit of a suffering thing in there. Don't just say, oh, we're going to feel good about everything. It's very simply, you need to count the cost. But he says there's two spirits. And the one feels just like the one that it almost feels like God, but it's not. It's a false thing. It's called the spirit of bondage again to fear. Say the spirit of bondage again to fear. It makes you a slave to fear. It makes you a slave to a certain way of thinking in your relationship with God. And it's called, some people call it a religious spirit. Because a religious spirit makes you have all these rules, all these regulations, but when you come to the end of doing all those things, you still feel empty. You don't feel accepted, you don't feel loved, you don't feel affirmed, you always like feel, and I summarize it like this, you feel like an orphan. I call it an orphan spirit. And when we were up there in the DRC, I was amazed, you know. Because the thing that moved me the most was these little kids at this orphanage. When we went through this one big hall with all these kids and all the flies all over them and just... And they started to just run to us, and then they grabbed a hold of our feet and our legs, and you had to sort of walk like this, you know, Bionic Man, you know, and we sort of like three on the shoulders and four on this, and we just carried them like this. And the love, depravity, the love desire that they had, they just didn't want to let us go. In the end, when we walked through, we realized now we have to leave these kids, and I'll never forget that moment of pulling these kids from me and putting them down. And then they started to cry, and they wanted to pick me up, and we just had to go, and we sort of like think, oh, you know. And then all of us started to cry, because we realized, yuck, these kids probably never had a hug. There's such a need inside of them that is unfulfilled. And all they want is a hug. That's enough. All they want. You know, one person said to me last year, and somebody said to me, why do you spend so much money on going to all these nations? And I was struggling with it because I was thinking, okay, isn't it better just to build a little house there? Give them the money. And then somebody wrote me a letter last year, and it was one of those letters that changed my life. The guy said to me, do you know what? So many people can give money. They can have a concern. But the fact that you came to us was the word made flesh. Was the fact that somebody would get onto a plane and go all over the world just to come and hug a couple of people that changed their lives. And he said that meant more than any money that you could give, because it's easy to sit in your comfortable chair and send a deposit through and still your heart is not moved. And that's why Jesus took 12 ordinary men and he took them across the sea. He took them to lots of places, and then he took them up to Jerusalem, and he said to him, look here, you're going to go into all the world. Once the Holy Spirit is going to come, the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. But you must know that you have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear. The orphan spirit makes you run your life trying to get fulfillment through people or through what you do. It can even be good stuff. It can be spiritual stuff. You do lots of things for God, but you still have an emptiness inside. And some of us, we're driven because we're just like, whoa, you know. And then we don't understand, but we've actually received a spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. That says, Daddy, come and protect me. Daddy, come and provide for me. Daddy, I thank you because I know your heart. I know your heart. I know your heart. It's not this big God that wants to smack me. It's a God that actually are very interested in where I live and what I do. Hello, there's a father that you need to connect with. But that father is not just the individual's father. And Pastor Fred has been sharing around that, you know, about a closed circle and our families. But if we want to understand God's heart, then we need to understand that he's got lots of spaces and lots of places for many people in his heart. It's actually called the whole world. Hello. Everyone is included. God has got a big heart. Did you know that? You fit in there and lots of other billions of people as well. There's lots of space for him, for you in his heart. And so
When we connect with that part of God's heart, we begin to realize there's something of God, not just for us. And that's why Jesus said, don't pray my Father. Because it's not an individualistic thing. It's an our Father thing. It's a together thing. It's a thing that when you pray on behalf of your family and you pray on behalf of your nation. And some of us, we must stop speaking negative stuff. Don't be a fool. Scripture says we pray for our leaders of our nation. So you don't speak bad stuff about our president. Christians can't do that. We may not maybe agree with somebody's lifestyle, and we are not going to say that's okay. But we are not going to speak against the office or the president that we deserve. Because God appoints the president of our nation, and he gives you the president that you deserve and that I deserve. Did you know that? Go and read Romans chapter 13. And the reason why there may be a lawlessness and a mess is very simply is because we don't pray for our president. Because scripture says, if you pray for him, if I pray for him, then there'll be peace in our land and in our life. Hello? So the problem doesn't lie with the president. The problem lies with you and me. We've got a sterile environment because there's a den of thieves. People that come together and they just want to take because they've got a need all the time. Let me tell you another story out of my own life, because, you know, I was, because of this thing, and I was really like, I really wanted to be good and do great stuff, and I was like really like spiritual on the one side, and on the other side, my life was a bit of a mess. I struggled with depression and heaviness because of this need orientation. And so I always thought, you know, if I can do more, or if I can do greater stuff, then I'm going to get this need fulfilled. But then God, one day, I'll never forget it, I was standing in the church, and it was 1994, and we had church up there in the Sunland Hall, and I was thinking about this thing, God, and I was thinking, this was my mind, I would say, what can I do more for you? What can I sort of accomplish? God, what is the next thing? And the Lord says, I want to heal you. I said, but God, I don't need healing. And then he did something very profound. A lady came walking up to me, and she said, I'm going to go up because I need prayer. Will you keep my baby? Will you hold my baby? And she gave the baby to me. And I was standing there with a baby. I was looking at this thing. And I was thinking, please don't cry. And don't woo woo in your nappy. Because the mother's gone there, you know, somewhere out there. You know? And I can't explain to you how uncomfortable I felt with that baby. Because I was just thinking, you know, I always had this idea. Now kids don't like me. They always scream, you know. And here was this baby going like bazooka. And I'm checking everybody. Just like a man, you know, with like, ooh. This thing moves, you know. Let me tell you another story. And this is a tip for the guys, you know. We were at the camp one day, and the guy's not here, so I can skinner about him. But we were standing having this deep conversation with this guy, and this little kitten one day came running past. And then the guy grabbed the kitten, and he held the kitten like this, and he started to stroke the kitten. And I was saying, what, you know, what is happening? What are you doing? We're talking like deep stuff here. And he said, it's a chick magnet. The conversation was over. Within 3 minutes, there were like three girls around him. I said, okay, I give up. Yeah, let me walk away. We'll continue the conversation a little later. You're going to thank me for that tip, okay? Now the church is going to be full of kittens and full of, okay, but then. Because we've got like this, you know, just show the soft side, guys, the soft side, okay? But very simply, you know, God talks about this being an heir, being somebody that can walk into the fullness, and you can ask God for the nation. So in my life, you know, when this baby started to come and this woman gave me this baby, I was very uncomfortable. And then I started to realize, okay, God, I've been focusing so much on what I need. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you that you will begin to show me your Father heart so that I can start to protect others and provide for others where I did not have my needs fulfilled. Because now I come to you for that need. You are going to be my daddy. And then when I started to get kids, things changed. Don't get close to my kids. Like I said, I will kill you. But it's the most amazing thing when the daddy's heart begins to manifest. And you suddenly begin to get not a concern for people. Not a little emotional, oh, I feel about the people out there. But you start to wake up in the middle of the night and you start to feel the burden that God has. You start to feel the passion on His heart, His protection, His provision, His desire to go out there and to build orphanages and to go into nations and to go into Kaimundi and to go into Clutersville and go into your family and just say, well, there's a daddy that cares. I know that daddy. And I want to represent His heart. I want to show you His heart. And then when you go across these nations and you go to all these places from India right through to Nepal, every time, the kids was the thing that changed my life. The kids that are lonely. Do you know what? There are so many kids. There are at least 30,000 kids that die every month of starvation. Most people in this world live on less than 10 rand per day. I wonder if we would do this for a week. Let's not make a rule. Just do it for 2 days in your life, in the next 2 months. I want to challenge you. Do something. Forget about all the food that you have in your fridge. Forget about all that stuff. And then you take 10 rand, and you take another 10 rand. And then you live from that 20 rand for 2 days. See how your life is going to change. And you know what? You'll start to realize where most of the world is. 10 rand a day. We can almost buy a bread. 10 rand a day. But see, those are the things that stir God's heart. And then when you and I come to that place and we begin to say, okay, God, I see there's so much needs. Because do you know what? What we like to do as Christians is we like to forget about those things. Because it's just more comfortable not to think about that. But ignorance is not an excuse. Ignorance will never be an excuse before the throne of God. Why? Because Jesus made provision. Hello. Ignorance is not an excuse. Turn to someone next to you and say, ignorance is not an excuse. Okay, the last two scriptures, and then we're gonna pray for people and we're gonna send these teams. Jeremiah 1, verse 4 to 5. You know, when we start to realize who God is, God begins to release His identity and His authority in your life and through your life. Say identity and authority. So in Jeremiah 1, verse 4 to 5, I love this, what God speaks about Jeremiah. He says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I've got news for you. Because Jeremiah, like Moses, like Noah, like most great men of God, some or other time in their life, they had a bit of an identity crisis. Things went wrong. Moses complained and said, he's not good, he cannot speak. Lots of people had lots of excuses, and lots of people had lots. Until, you know, and one of these guys was Jeremiah, and God comes to Jeremiah, and He says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Who formed you in your mother's womb? God. I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart for me. I ordained you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Whoa. I love that. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And then Jeremiah 29, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Do you know God constantly thinks certain thoughts towards you? Says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. God never thinks evil towards you and I. To give you a future and a hope. Very simply, is I want to be your dad. That's what God says. I made you. I formed you. I knew you. But more than that, I've got a purpose. I've got a destiny. And that destiny, Jeremiah, includes the nations. And it doesn't matter how you feel about it, or what, you can just say yes or no to that destiny. It's as simple as that. But I want my Father's heart to be revealed in all the earth. You know, when Louise and I got married, it was very funny. Not the marriage or the wedding. But so many people came to us and they just had the same word. They said to us, you must live an open life. You cannot have a normal lifestyle and a way of living. Because God wants you to have many children. And he wants to bless the nations through you. And I didn't believe it. Now my wife is like doing the children's church here. It is the greatest place to be is at the children's church. There's no inhibitions. There's no fear. They tell you exactly. The other day when we were in Pakeberg, for the English people. When we went to Pakeberg, I loved, there was this little boy, I don't know if I told you last week, but this little boy walked up to this old man and he said to him, uncle, you've got a backpack on and there are lots of filthy stuff in that backpack, but it's time for you just to take it off because God wants you to walk freely. Then this old man, probably about 60, broke down and he started to weep. I prayed with this four-year-old boy. And then one of the people came to me and said, you don't know what this person has been addicted to pornography for many years in his life. And one little word from a child set him free. Why? Because God wants the hearts of the fathers to turn to the children and the children to the fathers. That's what the last prophecy says of the Old Testament. And it says, if it doesn't happen, then I will strike the earth with a curse. Because God wants generational connections. God wants you to understand his father's heart, what makes him excited. And that includes many other people. So that's why it says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. I know what I want to do. I want to you. And listen to this, Jeremiah 31. He says, the Lord has appeared to me to old, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. It's like God says, just, I want to draw you to myself. You need to understand this. I actually love spending time with you. I actually love you to manifest who I am. And you know, there's some people here tonight that we're going to pray for that has been struggling with an orphan spirit. I want to read us some things about a fatherless home. 63% of youth suicides in America are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. It's 32 times the average. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes, 20 times the average. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes, 14 times the average. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes, 9 times the average. The stats say it to us. And that's at the heart of God, is his fatherhood and his heart, the heart of a father. And if the devil can break you down through divorce, and he can break you down through division, and he can break you down through an absent father, then many times we're going to struggle just to connect with God. And then what we do is we replace it in church with the spirit of bondage, the spirit of religion. Because it almost feels like the right thing. It just never connects you with God. Because it's motivated by fear of failure and fear of rejection and fear of what if I'm not good enough and fear of condemnation and fear of shame and fear of guilt. And that weighs you down all the time where you cannot come to God and say, Daddy, I just thank you that I can be your child. We're going to get the band up and then we're going to start to worship and we're going to pray for the mission teams. And we're going to then pray that God will break over your heart and over your life. Tonight, an orphan spirit or an illegitimacy where God will place his identity on you and you will have the freedom to ask him for the nations. I told the story this morning of this lady that was in America that ran a small orphanage and she started to pray 11 years long for Kenya. And one day she got a phone call from the president of Kenya. And said, I heard you doing so much wonderful work because one of the kids that you raised up in this orphanage has come to me and told me what you're doing. I want you to fly over because I want you to help us to implement a whole new strategy with all the 2 or 3 million orphans in Kenya. Won't you come? He said, thank you. I'm coming. Why? Because she had a burden. She had a desire greater than herself to say, okay, God, I'm not going to look to my past anymore. I'm not going to look to all that stuff that always the devil comes to accuse me and lies to me and says how bad I am. And then I just join the den of thieves. See what I can get. See what I can go and steal. see what I can have. But I'm going to join a house where there's a constant burden for the Father's heart to be released over the nations. Where every day where you say, God, in me, let the families of the earth be blessed. Now, I have a dream, just a personal dream, and I want to share it with you just between the two of us. Okay? Don't tell it to anybody else. Yeah, I want to adopt like lots of kids. Before I die, I want to have an orphanage of 400 kids. Because you know what? Most of the people never get a hug. Most of the kids out there. I already have two names of the 400. Of two kids. And so I'm dreaming. Ko is going to run the farm. I've already lined up everybody that's going to run the farm and do the wine, not the wine, the orchards. We're going to pluck out all the wine stuff, you know, all the vineyards. Yeah, yeah. It just destroys people's lives. Nothing against winemakers, but it's just not good for your health many times. But in any case, too much of it. But in any case, so. But it's amazing when God begins to birth something that is so much bigger in you. And you begin to say, okay, God, I want to actually be what you have called me to be. And my identity is not derived from the church I belong to or the stuff that I do, but I've been set free by Jesus. But my identity comes from knowing the Father. And He's got a big heart. He's got a welcoming heart. He's got a massive table and lots of us can sit around that table. He's made provision. He wants to protect and He wants to provide for those who cannot do it themselves. Philip, I want you to stand up. Come here, Philip. I love Philip. Because Philip, when he was a student, stand here with me, Philip. Don't do you, I know you're not going to like it, but I love him so much. Philip has got a daddy's heart. And he brings kids to the church every Sunday, and there's a burden on his heart. A burden to see people to know the Father. And it's came at a massive cost for him. And I want to honor you, Philip. And sometimes there were lots of stuff, you know, that we sat and we had to talk about family issues and all that stuff. And then Philip would come, but Philip never moans. Have you noticed that about somebody that has a dad's heart? They never moan, they never complain, they don't talk about themselves. They would just often come to check in. And then when Philip walks out of my room there where we sit on the couches and we drink, then I think, I am so blessed. Because I've actually learned more. He's blessed me because He's become a blessing. He stepped into another dimension. And you know, there's something about God's heart that Philip understands. But it's a burden. It's something that he carries. It's a passion. It's a zeal in his heart. He says, God, I'm not going to die being a thief. I'm not going to die being a consumer in the kingdom of God. God, I'm not going to die focusing on myself and my little retirement package and all that stuff. It's great, all that stuff. But I'm going to die in a devotion to you. Because I'm going to take lots of people with me. Lots of children that cannot fend for themselves. Philip, I want you to stand here. Because you're part of this sermon. I can't preach it without you. You see, you don't need to be 50 years old. I want all the dads and all the husbands, that people that are married, I want you to stand quickly. All the dads and all the husbands in this place. And even those people that cannot have kids, but you've got a desire to have kids, you're married, but you cannot have kids, dads and husbands, I want you to stand. Because I want to tell you that there's something God wants to do through you. God wants to release His heart through you. You don't need to have kids to understand the Father heart of God. And so, Father, we pray for all these husbands. We pray for all these dads right now, Lord. Won't you just stretch out your hands to them? Father, and we pray that you increase their territory. Lord, we pray that you will stir in them a heart, Lord, for the fatherless, because you are a father of the fatherless. And Lord, even in our own nation, Lord, there are more than 30% of children that grow up, Lord, without a dad in the home. Lord, they've got identity problems. They've got, Lord, sexual problems, Lord. They're sleeping around. Lord, there's lawlessness is increasing in our nation, Lord, because there's a pandemic. Lord, there's a cancer in our society, God. And it's a fatherless generation that we're growing up. But thank you, Lord, that in your church and in your body, you are raising up, Lord, a group of people that can stand up to say, Lord, we want to be. We want to reach the nations, Lord. We want to start here in our church and we want to go, Lord, to the uttermost ends of the earth, because it starts right here where their dad's here, Father. And we pray, Lord, we come against every attack of the evil one. Everything, Lord, that wants to deprive them and take away, Lord, the authority that they have in you, God. But we call, Lord, like we did this morning, we call up the fathers, the men, to stand up and to be courageous, to take their roles. Lord, we break every passivity, everything that holds them back, Lord, that says, no, Lord, they're not spiritual enough. And then, Lord, we let the women and the children do the spiritual stuff and we do the work. But, Lord, that stops in Jesus' name, Father, because we pray that you will stir in us our heart, Lord. Lord, make us awake at night for what stirs your heart, Lord. Lord, release the covenant of Abraham, Lord, where we will say, Lord, we will not rest until we see the families of the earth being blessed, Father. Lord, use us as a ministry, Lord. We've Fred and Lucille's heart is so much, Lord, to reach out. Lord, use us, Lord, to represent your real heart, Lord, to the people in this community, Lord, to the people on this campus, Lord, to the people, Lord, right through to Jamestown and Neil, Lord, and every part, Lord. Reveal your heart to us, God, but especially through us, Lord, so that people can know there's a Father's house. There's a desire for nations. Lord, reach and lift up these men, Lord. Want people close to them. Just lay your hands on them. You don't need to pray long prayers, but we're going to just pray. Because there's a massive attack. Every movie that you watch, every what is this nonsense, Modern Family. I haven't even seen it. I've just heard it, but it's the biggest hogwash. Stop watching that nonsense. There's nothing like a Modern Family. God wants a new generation of fathers to stand up. And that's why we're here at church, because we're saying, God, we want it your way. I want to reveal your heart. While we're praying for those people, I'm going to ask everybody here that did not grow up with a father in your home, either through divorce, through death. Maybe your father was there, but he was very absent. He worked very late. You want to be a blessing. You want to sort of look over your shoulder and just say, whoa, you know. And that dogs, that wolves want to bite you and tell you all these negative things. If you did not grow up with a father, I want you to stand up, and I want you to come and stand in front quickly. So we want to pray for you. We want to pray a blessing over your life. Just come and stand right here in front. You can be 50 years old. You can be 80 years old. I want you to quickly come and stand. Because we're going to pray that God will do something in your heart. I don't want anybody to talk now, because this is like a holy moment. And maybe there's some of you standing in front and you've got such an emptiness. I want you, everybody, to stand more in front. There are lots of people coming. No, God is not into magic, so we're not praying for magic tonight. We're just praying for his heart. And I want to say to everybody here, don't ever fall for the lie that because you did not have a natural father, that you are disabled. Tonight we're going to ask God to heal our emotional and spiritual disablement. Is that the right word? Disability. And we're going to ask God to break every orphan spirit so that you can become a blessing because of what Jesus has done on the cross. But you're going to need to be honest with him, and you're going to need to say to him, God, I want you to fill the emptiness inside of me. I want you to come and reveal yourself to me, Lord, that I can trust you. And the Holy Spirit is here because he's starting just to lift veils very, very slowly, but very gently, because it's a gentle thing that God does. But the Holy Spirit is busy breaking yokes over people here, desires that you've had for years. And some of you have been trapped in addictions, and you've been trapped in stuff that is in fears, a very, very deep, deep stuff in your heart. And it's veiled you, and it brings you, and you try so hard But the Lord wants to lift those burdens over you. And then he wants to give you his heart. No more loneliness. No more depression. No more heaviness. No more running in circles in the wilderness. But being able to follow him and giving your whole heart to him. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord. And we don't take this lightly, Lord, because some people here have been carrying things, Lord, and vacuums in their lives, Lord, for many years. There's been stuff that has been bothering them, Lord, and they've been trying so hard, Lord, to try and fill the gaps, fill the between the lines. But Father, we know that we can't do that in our natural. But we pray tonight, Lord, for your stamp of approval, for your adoption into your heart, Father. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will break yokes of slavery over people tonight, Lord, that will make them able to say, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Not from the head, but from the heart. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And we pray for a release tonight over people here. We pray for a release over people here tonight. I want all those dads that have been prayed for and those husbands, I want you to quickly come, because you're going to pray over these people. And we're not going to pray long prayers. We're not praying long prayers. All we're going to do is we're going to just touch the people. We're going to just say, Father, what you've done in our hearts, bless them. Bless them. I would ask you, if you're not a member of the church, that you just quickly check there with Pastor Andres there on the side, because we don't want... we respect you and all that stuff, but this is a holy moment. This is a house moment, okay? So if you're not in a relationship with people here, then rather not pray if you're not sure, so that we can just check, because this is a family business here. I want the fathers, I want the husbands. I want you just to go and lay your hands, and then I want you to give them a hug. It's not about the prayer. It's not about the doctrine, but it's about God's heart. Michael, you can do it, eh? I want you to just do, because Michael has got a dad's heart, and we're going to just, it's not prayers, people. We're not praying long prayers. All we're doing is we're just saying, God, touch them. Lord, reveal your heart to them. Father, no more loneliness, no more fears, but just, Lord, release your Father's heart through them. So guys, we're going to do this in 5 minutes, so we're going to need to rush. It's not a counseling session. It's just, all we're going to do is we're going to ask God to do something that he's done in our hearts. Will you sing that song, James?